worship, and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful again for this another blessed privilege to be in your house, to hear your word. Oh Lord, I thank you for these, your people, whom you have navigated the footsteps to enter into this place. And so you have purposed them to be here, Lord. And so since you purposed them to be here, we pray, Lord, that you will open up the scriptures unto them, give them understanding about the knowledge you shall bring forth today. And we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray for the best that is yet to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise as you are seated in his presence. Amen, amen. I want to deal today with this word character, which again is the essence of the Christian makeup. And if you'll jot it down, this is the portion of the defined word that I want us to know. It is the total of qualities making up an individuality. It is moral excellence, character, character. So much a part of the believer's entire makeup. And so it is important, again, that we understand if we have the mind of Jesus Christ, we will have the kind of character that brings honor to his name, that brings honor and glory to him. And every day, in every way, we are to build the character of Christ in our lives, not just by the things that we say, but the things that we do. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis 39 and verse 9. Genesis 39. And this is Joseph when he was tested with this Egyptian woman who was the master of his house's wife. And Joseph, because he was a man of character. Now, if you don't have time now, when you get a chance, I need you to just read starting at the first verse and just read on through. And you're going to see how he is tested. But if the character is in place, the consequences themselves will bear out to that same reality. In other words, when you are right, God fights your battle.
Yeah.
And character is knowing again that you are doing the right thing, knowing that you're on the right side, knowing that you are standing up for what is right. And it doesn't mean that because you have character, you won't suffer. As a matter of fact, certainly in this world that is void many times of the character or characteristics of God, you suffer in this place because it is not all about what is right. It is not always about what's of God. But when you know you are of God, then you have God's backing in your favor. Now, look at what Joseph says in verse 9 of the 39th chapter. It says, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee." Now he's talking to the man's wife. And Joseph is making clear that he knows his place, he knows his position, he knows his power. Because of his character, knowing his place, knowing his position, knowing his power, he recognizes how great he is in this household. He recognizes his position. He recognizes also what is not proper. He knows that the only thing that he does not have authority over, that he does not have access to, he knows the only thing that he cannot touch is this man's wife. Now, he don't want the man's wife, but the man's wife want him. Now, look at what Joseph is saying again. He said, there is none greater in this house than I. Now, he's talking about the absence of the husband and or his master, of course. He says, neither hath he, speaking of the master, kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his what?
Wife.
How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You see, his character, again, locked him into being right with who? With God. See, it might be all right with you, but if it ain't all right with God, character says, no, I understand you're willing.
That's it.
I understand you're ready. But it is against the will of God. It is against the word of God. It is against the will of God. So therefore, because of the character that he has, the God-like character, he would not sin against God, even though he could have been a willing participant in the sin and yet have reaped the benefits for a moment, sin for a season, and the pleasures thereof. But he knows the consequences of that would have been, ultimately way far more weightier than the sin that he enjoyed for just a moment. If you keep on reading the story, you're going to see that he is convicted of pretty much of something he did not do. Because when he told her no and repeatedly told her no, and then he recognized, she wasn't taking no for an answer. She was just going to take him. And Joseph like, no, we ain't going to have this, sister. So he turns and makes a break for him. She grabs him and then grabs his coat. He like, baby, you can have this. He wiggles out the coat. She keeps the coat. He starts running. Then she's embarrassed now because he would not play with her. And so because he'd rather honor his God and respect his master and not sleep with his wife, she gets upset with him because this probably isn't the first time she's done this. And so, but here is a man of character and a man of God who would not partake in this. And so she's angry and upset. She's scorned. So now she's crying out to the gods that this man has tried to rape her. And we read the story, you'll see. But the only point that I'm trying to make to you is the man had enough character and enough godlikeness in him not to participate. And even though you have character, it doesn't mean for the moment you're not going to suffer for it. But if you keep reading the story, you're going to see in the end he wins because character wins out always. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Proverbs 3, verse 27. Now here again is something that's simplistic in point, but character helps you to do something else, helps you to be fair and to treat others right when you have the ability to do that. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 27. It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Listen at this again. Withhold not good from them to whom it is what? It is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Now, this is important because when you have character and you understand the God-likeness of how God would handle a situation, how the Lord Jesus Christ would handle a situation, then we are bound by the word, by the will, and by the will of God to do the same thing as Christians, having the character of God in us. It's simple. Now, if you're a person of character, you don't want to see people suffer. Though you cannot help everybody, there are persons, again, that I've shared with you, when God releases the passion or the compassion in your heart for a person, that person is assigned unto you to do something about that situation. If God does not move you compassionately toward that person, that's not the person that God has assigned for you to step in and do anything with. So this is one of the ways that Christians understand, how am I supposed to help this person? Is this somebody God wants me to? Well, again, If God puts that upon your heart, I mean literally releases the compassion of God or Christ in you for that person, it means God's causing you, has assigned that person to you, brought them into your awareness, brought you to that place where you again recognize that need, and then God gives you or already has given you the resources to do something about that situation. That's again the way that you understand God assigning a person to you to do something to, with, or for in a situation that God would have you to do it. That's why you need to understand everybody you see, everybody you know that's poor, that's, you know, that's without, that's destitute, that's whatever, God did not assign you to handle that situation. That's how you know that and have peace underneath the skin. That's why when you drive up and the person got to sign up, we'll work for food, and God ain't touch your heart. That is not the person God assigned. It may be the car next behind you that he has, or on and on. But when he touches your heart, moves you to compassion, it is your assignment to do something about that situation. But now this, again, keeping that in context, the word says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Now, sometimes people fall in situations that are not a byproduct of their own actions or decisions. They may be victims of circumstances, or they may be in a situation where God has so ordered or allowed a situation to happen, and yet he might want you to step up to the plate and handle that situation. When Jesus was dealing with a man, the disciples said, Master, who did sin, this man or his mother, Jesus, or his parents? Jesus said, neither one of them, but that the will of God or the work of God might be made manifest. Sometimes God allows some things to happen so that when you come along, he tests you, he tries you, he positions you to do what he's called you to do. And so again, when that happens, sometime it is that time when that person is due or in need of that service or of that help or that assistance at that time. If you've got the resources, God's called your attention to the problem, it is no reason for delay, then character says, do it now. No, not you trying to say, well, wait, no, I'm going to wait till next week because I'm going to have a little bit more next week, and I ain't got nothing to do with this money, but something might happen between now and payday, so I'm going to hold on to this. Now, you just keep it. You've been having that problem this long. You can wait a few more days. Okay? But that's not character. Look at what the word says. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. And when it's talking about when it is due, it is when God releases the compassion in your heart for that person. That means it's time to take care of that situation now. It says, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. That means when you have the resources, the capabilities to do it then. See, there are some things you can do you ain't got to go ask nobody about. James talks about, you know, don't tell a brother be warmed and be filled when you've got clothes, extra clothes and blankets and or money to feed them or food to give them. You don't bless them and be filled and be. Now, first of all, character says you are God's representative in this earth realm. So that means if I've got extra clothes, you my size, I say, wait, I got something, brother. I can give you this. I don't have to pray about that. Listen at me. I do not. Character tells me I got more stuff in my closet. I need to make some room now. God's given me an opportunity to make some room, be a blessing, and then provide room for more stuff to come. So character says to me, I don't have to wait in this situation. I don't even have to pray, James says, about this. I need to do it. So character brings out the best in you, and it brings out the God-like qualities in you in a situation where there are some things you know you don't have to pray. Sometimes we pray, well, let me pray about this. Because the reason why we're praying is because we're trying to delay.
That's right. That's right.
We're trying to find an excuse. We're trying to get them out of our face. We're trying to, you know, shift them to somebody else, hoping they'll go somewhere else and won't come back to you. But God will fix you. He'll let you get them out there, out your face for a minute and send them right back to you. That's your assignment. Deal with it. Now, notice again, and here's the operative part that makes it so very clear. It says, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it, meaning you have no excuse. You see, one of the things I know is that even though God may assign someone to my situation or my situation to them, if God has not given me the resources, it might be the right person, but it might not be the right period at this moment. But what God has done is he has started tenderizing my heart.
He has started making me aware so that when he bring the resources into my control, he's going to make me remember I've got this person on hold. I've already begun dealing with you about this. So when you get it, you make sure you take care of the situation, because it is then in my power. It is in my ability. Look again at James 1, if you will. And it is so important to really just get a good feel of the Word of God, especially as it relates to what God would have us to do as it relates to character. Look at what the Word says in James 1 and 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only." Why? Because if you don't become a doer and just become a hearer, you will be deceiving your own selves. Listen at this. James is making clear that, and I think all of us have been at that place where we have been hearers only and not doers. A hearer is one who sits in church and or Bible study and hears what God has to say, but never progresses or is never promoted to the place of doing what he or she has heard. To be a hearer makes you responsible and accountable for what you know is right. James says, when you know better, you're responsible for doing better. So you condemn yourself when you hear it and don't heed it. And so when you could have said, "I didn't know," now you know. And now that you know, God is saying you're responsible for it. Now the person on the other end of the stick may not know, but you do know. Okay? Somebody whom God may have assigned to you, they may not know the Word. They may not know what the Bible says. And so they may not have the biblical integrity of knowing that they have a right or have the privilege of doing or asking, et cetera, et cetera. But because you know what is right, it is your responsibility to not just be a hearer. See, some of you all might leave this place right here, and God may give you a test when you get back to your jobs, when you get back home, on your way home, wherever you're going, tomorrow, next week, whatever. But you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free enough to do it, because again, once you know the truth, you cannot know the truth. You can choose not to obey the truth, but you cannot not know the truth. I know. How many of us know better about some things and still don't do better? Every hand ought to be up here, or you are a dirty. Because there are some things we know better about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We know better about. We've got the knowledge about it. It's in our spirit. The devil can't take that away from us. It's the truth. We know it's the truth. But it's not just enough to know the truth. It's a whole nother level to do the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so James says again, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Hearing is only half of it. Doing it is the completion of it. And listen at this, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23 says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now he's making clear some things that again are so very important. I mean, mirrors are only reflective of the image that's in it.
That's right.
I said mirrors. Did you hear what I just said? If you are in a mirror, all a mirror is going to show you is what it sees.
That's right.
Now that's why the truth of the matter is, when you see and again, truth, all a mirror can do is reflect. It can't make you look better.
That's right.
Mirror shows you what it sees. Mirror don't lie to you. Now there are what's called trick mirrors.
Yeah.
It still takes the image, but it distorts the truth. It can make you look short, it can make you look long and lanky and curvy and all, but it's still taking the same image and it's distorting the image. But it's still a reflection of you. And so what you got to understand is, once you leave out of that image of the mirror doesn't show that anymore. It's like it's forgetting that quick. That's the way a whole lot of us who are hearers of the word and not doers of the word, because it is not a continuation or a completion of that. And so that's the same way we act like that. So that means that if there is not a doing or a performing of it, then there cannot be a reward or a blessing from doing it. And so that's important for us to understand as it relates to it. Look at James chapter 3, verse 2. Well, verse 1 says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Now, you know, we've got to be careful that we aren't making ourselves more than we ought to be, because the more we try to make ourselves, you know, when it says master here, it's literally referring to teachers. Try not to be an expert in everything. You know, you got some people who just know everything. They're experts in it all. They can tell you about everything there is. The more that you claim to be a master in, the more you're responsible for that you claim you know. Okay? So it's important for you to, I mean, it's all right to know a little something about everything, and you need to gather as much knowledge and so forth, but when you take the position of a master teacher, one who is perfect in that law, that knowledge, then you hold yourself up to a higher accountability, a higher standard. You call yourself then a master of teaching, or a master of this art or this science or this knowledge or this discipline. So then that means then that you are an authority of that. Okay, well then that means you've got to live on that same level. You are accountable on that same level. And so when you claim to know it all, then you are responsible for all you know. And whether you are or you not, if you're claiming that, that's the word. Look at what verse 2 says. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Now, the word is saying, listen, we offend. How many folk?
All.
We offend all. For in many things, not just some areas, in many, you know, you can offend folk and don't even know you offended folk.
Yeah. That's right.
God knows I can be standing up here just ministering the entire truth with no malicious intent whatsoever, saying what thus said the Lord. But because somebody don't want to line up, they'll say I'm talking about her.
That's right. That's right.
Now, Pastor, know he wrong for that.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen.
I wish I had a...
That's right.
I wasn't trying to offend you. I was trying to help you. But if you don't want to line up with what the truth is, then you become offended that I have mentioned this truth, because the spirit of conviction, I can't convict you.
That's right.
I cannot convict you. When Isaiah wanted to volunteer to be what God wanted and needed in the earth realm, Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." But then when God challenged him, Isaiah made clear. He said, "Listen, God, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips. I mean, you can't use me. Even though I want to be used, I'm not right for you to be used, because I'm no better than the ones you're telling me to talk to."
That's right.
And then the word goes on, talking about he takes a coal and puts on his tongue, which is to purify his tongue, meaning that he makes him worthy to represent him to the people that he is a byproduct of. And see, what's better is it takes one to know one.
Right.
It's clear, because you can't fool me, because I've been where you are.
All right.
Y'all hearing me here? You can talk that talk to somebody that don't know, but I done been down that street. As a matter of fact, I know it better than you know it, and that's the reason why I'm up here and you there. So then it takes on a whole nother level of understanding here, because Isaiah was clear about this matter. It is clear in this matter that, again, you're going to offend folk, especially if you're going into the place to bring somebody out of. Do you know everybody ain't trying to come up out of the stuff they're in?
That's it.
They may want to come out one day, but not today. That's why someone tell you, know, I mean, you got some folks shacking up right now. I know they ought to be married.
That's right.
And whatever other habits you can go on and bring on, know they ought to be. But again, it, because we're dealing and wrestling with the flesh, and because we don't want to deal with that area now, you become offended when you hear someone talking about it. Don't know your name, don't know your situation, don't know your certain thing, but God does. Amen. Let me show you something else. Let's turn to Hebrews 4 and 13 right quick. Back up if you don't mind. Hebrews 4 and 13. Now I want you to see something here. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Meaning very simply that your character, God sees it at all times. There is no covering. And we're going to get to the next scripture verse in Luke that's going to give this a whole nother again level of understanding. There is no covering in the sight of God that God does not see, that you can hide from God, that you can fool God with, because God sees it all, God knows it all, and as we become clear to the truth that we cannot hide from God, it behooves us to come clean with God. God knows not only your deeds, God knows your thoughts. God knows your thoughts before they ever become. Matter of fact, God knows even the premonition before the thought ever becomes a thought. He knows what's in your heart and everything in that's going to come together and form together and make it a thought. He knows what's going to be before it ever becomes. So you cannot, if you are manifested, if you are human, if you think, move, breathe, and have your existence in him, God already knows it.
That's it.
So look at what the word says again. Neither is there any creature. Somebody say any creature.
Any creature.
It literally means neither is there any creation.
Right.
Listen, that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are what?
Naked
and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now look at what Luke says in the 8th chapter right quick. Turn to Luke right quick. This character is an important part of the development of the Christian, because it is what God sees and then what man sees. God knows it before man ever sees it. And so you are who you are, even when man doesn't see it or know it, God knows it. Look at what it says again. It says, okay, no, this is the wrong one here. Okay. Look at verse 17. It says, let's back up to 16 and you'll see it. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covered it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but set it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Verse 17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Verse 18 says, take heed therefore how ye hear. For whatsoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which it seemeth to have. Now look at this word again. This is Jesus speaking, and he makes clear. Make sure you note that correctly. Luke 8 and 16 and 17 and 18, if you will. It says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, because it is literally, again, just making null and void the whole purpose for lighting a candle. If you light the candle, you want what?
Light.
You don't light a candle to hide the light. If you don't want the light, don't light the
candle.
Amen. That's the point. Now, looking at this, having said all of that, it is always the purpose for lighting a candle, both for you and those who enter into your circle, enter into the room, enter into your presence where you and the candle are, to have the light or the ability to see so that they can, again, understand where you are, what's in the room, etc. It gives light to the situation. The next verse makes very clear that for nothing is secret. Well, now, Jesus is making clear now, keep in mind, nothing is secret. We just got the reading in Hebrews to who? To God. Nothing is secret to God. This is literally what it's saying, because there are a whole lot of secrets you don't know about.
That's right. That's right.
So that's not the true understanding of the scripture here. And there are some things you'll never know on this side of glory. That's a biblical truth as well. Paul makes that clear in 1 Corinthians chapter